and to grow your personality. So one of the important things about tazkiyah is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his book says that one of the goals of the prophets or sending books for the guidance of humanity is tazkiyah, to purify people, to make them, enable them to grow and develop in their lives. Welcome back. You are listening to A to Z. We are talking about self-purification. Well, we talked about the fact that Quran tells us that self-purification or growing your personality or developing your personality is one of the main goals of the sending prophets and sending guidance to humanity. Well, if you look at this point from the perspective of intellectual or the natural religion, if you look at this fact from the concept of the natural religion where you rely upon your reasoning in the first place, you would find that the way everything in this universe we see is in a condition of developing, in a condition of gaining the excellences and in moving in the path of perfection, the same thing goes for humans. Humans also have a path, a natural path for perfection and growth. So what is that path? In the Quranic concept, the knowledge of all the aspects of human reality cannot be covered just by experience and reason. So we are in need of some supernatural aspect. We are in need of revelation. We are in need of that aspect which can help us to purify ourselves. So self-purification has two aspects. In Quranic understanding, the self-purification has two aspects. First aspect is to gain the true belief system. Because self-purification cannot happen with the background of wrong ideas and beliefs. So the first aspect is to gain the true belief system. The second aspect of the self-purification lies in gaining the virtues and excellences. And what is an excellence or what is a virtue? It's actually the moderation and harmony, creation of moderation and harmony in your emotions and in your in character. So in every faculty of your soul or in every power within your soul, if you harmonize that in the light of revelation and in the light of reason, that become a virtue, that become a excellence. So gaining of true ideas and the right belief system and developing of true traits and qualities together make the concept of self-purification. With this, we will complete our today's lesson. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
The criticism against the UK's stance on Iran's retaliatory military operation against the Zionist regime gained momentum recently after British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's startling remarks. The Foreign Secretary's remarks were widely criticized across social media, with thousands of people condemning the UK government for its blatant hypocrisy. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote, "The criticism against the UK's stance on Iran's retaliatory military operation against the Zionist regime gained momentum this week after British Foreign Secretary David Cameron's startling remarks. In an interview with Sky News earlier this week, Cameron harshly criticized Iran for its military strikes against the Israeli regime, but hastened to add that the UK would have reacted similarly if one of its embassies came under attack. Recently, Iran launched a barrage of drones and missiles directly against the occupied territories called Israel. In response to the attack on Iran's consulate in Damascus that led to the assassination of 7 individuals, including 3 senior Islamic Revolution Guards Corps commanders. The Israeli regime attack, according to legal luminaries, was in violation of international law and the Vienna Convention of 1961, as embassies are considered the soil of that particular country." During the interview, when asked by the Sky News journalist about how Britain would react if one of its embassies was flattened, Cameron said, "We would take every strong action, drawing criticism from all across the world for UK's double standards on the matter." The 57-year-old former British Prime Minister attempted to justify his remarks by differentiating between the Zionist regime's actions in Damascus and Iran's attack on occupied territories in response, highlighting the magnitude and scale of Iran's retaliation. "There was a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and Iran's unprecedented attack," Cameron stressed. "I would argue there is a massive degree of difference between what Israel did in Damascus and," as I said, referring to 301 weapons, 36 cruise missiles, and 185 drones launched by Iran against military targets in the occupied territories. While making the comparison, Cameron struggled to differentiate between the Iranian and Zionist casualties in the attacks. "The Zionist regime's attack against the Iranian embassy in Syria assassinated 7 people, while there have been no formal reports of any casualties in the Iranian attack." He also couldn't differentiate between the pre-attack warnings from both sides. "The Zionist regime targeted the Iranian consulate without any prior warning, as the intention was to assassinate Iranian diplomats in breach of international law, while the Iranian military intended to target the regime's military facilities." The Foreign Secretary's remarks were rightly criticized across social media, with thousands of people condemning the UK government for its blatant hypocrisy. Following the UK Foreign Secretary's controversial comments on Sky News and his government's backing of the Zionist regime, the Iranian Foreign Ministry condemned the move, expressing astonishment at the UK's criticism of Iran's legitimate response to the Zionist regime's attack on its embassy. In a telephone conversation recently, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian condemned Cameron's stance and questioned the UK's unwavering support for the Zionist regime, despite its illegal actions, including the daily massacres of civilians in Gaza. Amir Abdollahian asked Cameron, "What does the British government gain from this amount of irresponsible support for Israel?" The top Iranian diplomat stressed that Iran's retaliatory measures align with the principle of legitimate defense outlined in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. The foreign minister's exchange of remarks came after Iran's Foreign Ministry summoned the ambassadors of the UK, France and Germany to question their irresponsible stance regarding Tehran's retaliatory strikes on the Israeli regime. The director for Western Europe at Iran's foreign ministry warned against the three countries' double standards and questioned their bias in opposing a UN Security Council statement condemning Israel's attack on Iran's embassy in Syria earlier this month. Iran's military action against the Zionist regime's bases is well within the framework of the right to legitimate defense stipulated in Article 51 of the United Nations Charter, and it is in response to a series of crimes, including the recent attack on the embassy compound in Syria, the official added. The British diplomat's controversial comments were also met with criticism from George Galloway, a member of the UK Parliament, who warned against the West's double standards on Israel and Iran. Exposing the inconsistency in Western attitudes, Galloway said that if international standards were applied uniformly, then Western governments would have condemned Israel's blatant bombing of the Iranian embassy building in Syria, and not just Iran's response to the Israeli regime's actions. The firebrand British MP said, "The mantra that Israel has a right to defend itself clearly does not apply to Iran. The mantra that there is a rules-based order, that there is Vienna Convention protecting the inviolability of diplomatic premises of every country in every other country is clearly bunkum. It doesn't apply to those that the Western Empire disapproves of. Otherwise, every Western government would have condemned Israel's blatant brazen destruction of Iran's embassy in Damascus. They would have done it if it was anyone else, wouldn't they?" Meanwhile, continuing its pivotal military support for the Zionist regime, the UK authorities claim that the Royal Air Force, RAF, came to the defense of the Zionist regime during the recent attacks. As part of Operation Shader, the code name for British military interventions in West Asia since 2014, several jets and air refueling tankers were dispatched to the region, according to Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, who confirmed that RAF jets intercepted and brought down a number of Iranian drones. Speaking in the House of Commons recently, Sunak said that our pilots put themselves in harm's way to protect the regime, and acknowledged the UK's contribution of important intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance support for our partners. UK Defence Secretary Grant Shapps also confirmed the deployment of further military assets in occupied territories as a demonstration of solidarity with the Zionist regime. Shapps was quoted as saying, "In response to escalation in the region and in partnership with our allies, the Prime Minister and I have authorized the deployment of additional Royal Air Force assets. The UK is a staunch ally of Israel, supporting the Zionist regime with a raft of lethal arms. The UK has authorized approximately £472 million in standard arms exports to Israel since 2015, alongside 58 open licenses of unlimited value, raising transparency issues and allowing unrestricted quantities, according to the figures by Campaign Against the Arms Trade, CAAT.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is To My Brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. It's great to have all of you here, and today we want to talk about a character who not only influenced Muslims across the world, but influenced many non-Muslims as well. This great personality is the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace and blessings upon him. Imam Ali alayhi salam was brought up under the care of the Holy Prophet Muhammad when he was just a small child. And so in this manner, the foundation of the moral and spiritual education of this magnificently intelligent child was based by the Prophet of Islam himself, the greatest educator of all mankind. Imam Ali's mental faculties were to an extent that he believed in the Holy Prophet and his mission at the tender age of 8. Therefore, Imam Ali, contrary to the other companions of the Holy Prophet, had never worshipped idols and never partook in the unreasonable demands, the oppressive actions, or the unjust acts of the Arab chieftains.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we're discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, the son of Abu Talib, alayhi salam. So what a beautiful persona it is indeed, and what an honor it is to be speaking about this persona and to be listening about this persona, the persona of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when we're talking about Imam Ali alayhi salam, there's a very interesting and profound event which occurs in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And so, you know, some while back, we had the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Now, after Imam Ali alayhi salam was hit upon the head with the poisoned sword, they took His Eminence to his house. And over there, eventually they brought Ibn Muljim, who was the individual who had struck Imam Ali alayhi salam on the head. And so people were hitting Ibn Muljim, they were cursing at him, they were even spitting on him, and it is related that some people were even biting him because of this atrocious crime that he had committed, a crime which was completely shocking and terrifying. How is it possible that an individual can have so much hatred and anger and greed and jealousy and all these negative vices that would lead an individual to killing, you know, the divinely appointed Imam, this most pure and infallible and beautiful individual, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So when they brought him to Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali alayhi salam said that don't do these things to him. You know, don't hit him like this, don't curse at him, don't slander him, don't spit on him. He has the respect of a human being. So as a human being, even though he has committed a crime, there is a basic level of respect and honor that the individual has, even though they have committed a crime. But then after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he says, you know, strike this individual as he has struck me, with one strike. You know, don't mutilate his body, don't, you know, chop him up to pieces, etc. He gave me one strike, you two, you know, who are the executors of this, you know, crime and the judgment, etc. You give also one strike. And so, what an amazing thing that we learn here. You know, sometimes out of anger and, I guess, you know, pure rage and hatred, we end up going out of bounds of Islam. We end up trying to take revenge, or, you know, we end up exceeding the limits. And so Imam Ali alayhi salam here, he teaches us, no, that whether we are angry or we are happy, whether we are sad or we are cheerful, everything should be within the confines of Islam, because Islam is the perfect way and it is the middle way. A very thought-provoking lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: قرنت الهيبة بالخيبة، والحياء بالحرمان، والفرصة تمر مر السحاب، فانتهزوا فرص الخير.
Imam Ali, peace be upon him, said, "The consequence of fear is disappointment, and of bashfulness is frustration. Opportunity passes away like the cloud. Therefore, make use of good opportunities."
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
There are actually five different situations where Ali challenged people by saying, "Saluni, saluni, ask me before you lose me." In one, he says something very amazing. He says, "Ayyuhan nas," and this was probably declared in Basra, where he says, "Saluni, saluni, qabla an tafqiduni. فَعَنَا بِطُرُقِ السَّمَاءَ أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِطُرُقِ الْعَرْضِ. Ask me whatever you want, because I am more familiar with the path and the highways of the heavens than the earth." This is where we see the, you know, the irony as far as the Muslims are concerned, that a person stood up. Ali is saying, "Ask me whatever you want. I know the ways of the heavens and the skies better than the ways of the earth." A fellow stands up. This is the father of Umar ibn Sa'd. Sa'd. "أخبرني كم في رأسي ولحيتي من طاقتي شعري." He says, "Ali, tell me how many strands of hair are there on my head and my beard." Is this what you want to know from Ali? Amir al-Mu'minin was very disappointed. He says, "But Rasulullah told me about you. Rasulullah told me that you will ask this question. And let me let you know, you don't have to know the number of the strands of the hair on your head and the beard, But you should know there is one malak sitting on each one of them and doing la'nat on you. And from your offspring will be one who is going to kill my son Hussein. And this is the tragedy of the Muslim world. The Arab world has a large non-Muslim population in Egypt as well as Lebanon. One of the famous Christian poets of this time, Khalil Gibran Khalil, made a comment in the preface that he wrote for a book about Amir al-Mu'mineen written by his friend, where he says, when I study the life of Ali, I actually have a big complaint with the Creator. That of God, oh God, if you wanted to create a person like Ali, why did you send him at a time when people could not appreciate him?
At this moment, we invite you to listen to parts of the Arabic text of Ziyarat Aminullah along with its English translations. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma fastajib du'ayi واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين أوليائي بحق محمد.
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my Master and my Lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the fully, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib. This means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en/call-of-Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
deterrence.
Part 4.
In the early hours of the morning of Wednesday, the 8th of January, 2020, 13 Iranian missiles destroyed the Ain al-Assad U.S. military base in Iraq. Before the attack, U.S. President Trump had warned that if Iran attacks U.S. interests, Washington will target 52 sites in the country. And people across the world have for long wondered why the U.S. did not respond to Iran's missile attack. Emad has a range of 1,700 kilometers and has a warhead which can be guided and controlled until it reaches its target. This technology enables Emad to aim with great accuracy and also pass through the range of enemy missile systems and demolish its intended target. In 2017, another astonishing achievement by Iran's missile industry was put on display. The Khorramshahr missile should be considered the deadliest and most lethal Iranian missile because of its 1,500-kilogram warhead. Its three warheads can explode simultaneously and multiply the intensity of the blast. This ballistic missile, which has a range of 2,000 kilometers, is considered to be among the category of liquid-fueled missiles. But the technology used to produce the fuel for this missile is different from conventional fuels. From the very beginning, Iran's missile industry has always moved toward establishing missile supremacy and as a consequence having the power of deterrence against enemy threats. In order to achieve these goals, it was necessary for Iranian scientists and engineers to design appropriate approaches by closely monitoring the movements of the enemies and their threatening capabilities. Due to these factors, the diversity in Iran's missiles is the result of different threats from enemies and at times actions that surpassed threats. These same factors bring about Iran's advances in the field of missile defense, which in turn attract the attention of the world more than ever.
The group says there are substantial challenges.
Iran's missile program has long been in the spotlight of the world media, especially in the West. Politicians, analysts, and political and military experts discuss Iran's increasing missile advances in the media on a daily basis. Unlike in the past, today the denial of the Westerners has given way to admission. Attempts to limit Iran's missile technology as a final tactic by enemies, especially the US and Israel, show that Iran's missile deterrence power has finally rendered the option of war and threat of military action useless. In 1999, a Wahhabi extremist group is formed in Iraq and gradually grows in size. The group joins forces with the Al-Qaeda network in 2004 in its fight against the then-Iraqi government. It later enters Syria with the outbreak of the civil war there and tries to overthrow the central government in Damascus. Members of this group kill and terrorize the population and occupy parts of Syria. And in 2013, led by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, take the name of the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, or Daesh for short. The group is also known as ISIS or ISIL. Ever since the moment Daesh tries to overthrow the Syrian government, Iran knew that the terrorist group has ties to the US and some Arab countries, led by Saudi Arabia. Years later, high-ranking U.S. officials who had previously denied links to Daesh admit that they had helped create an armed terrorist group with the help of their allies in the region.
I call President Obama and Hillary Clinton the founders of ISIS. They're the founders.
Iran takes action to support the Syrian government against terror groups, including Daesh. Iranian forces rush to the aid of Syrian resistance groups. These forces are known as the Defenders of the Shrine. Daesh leaders, frustrated by the presence of the Iranians and their role in preventing the fall of Syria, occupy large parts of Iraq. The IRGC's Quds Force, under the command of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was also in charge of countering Daesh in Syria, launches a more intense battle against the terror group in Iraq as it approaches the Iranian border. The strength and creativity of the Iranians on the battlefields forces Daesh terrorists, who had occupied large parts of Iraq, to repeatedly retreat after suffering repeated defeats. These defeats came at a heavy price for Daesh, which at the time had added the claim of being a global caliphate to its previous claims. Two simultaneous terrorist attacks on Iran's parliament and the shrine of the founder of the Islamic Revolution on June 7, 2017, show that the founders and creators of Daesh have chosen to increase insecurity within Iranian borders to make up for the heavy losses of their proxy forces. With the vigilance of Iran's counter-terrorism forces, the attackers are prevented from achieving their goals. But Iranians now know that in order to prevent and put an end to this terrorism, they have to act differently and decisively. The IRGC's Air Force Missile Unit once again finds the opportunity to demonstrate its power and authority, this time in a far more important and complex operation. The decades-long efforts of Iranian missile specialists and engineers are set to achieve their goal in a missile operation and give a crushing response to the enemy. Ten days after Daesh Takfiri terrorists staged operations on Iranian soil, which coincided with the last night of the month of Ramadan, a missile unit in cooperation with the IRGC's Quds Force launches an operation called Laylatul Qadr. These forces fire six medium-range ballistic missiles at a building where Daesh leaders are meeting and another support center in Deir ez-Zor. Images which are recorded by Iran's airspace force drones show the accuracy of missiles and the extent of the damage which results in the deaths of a number of Daesh leaders. The operation attracts everyone's attention. Operation Laylatul Qadr is also important because Iran unveils one of its missiles for the first time during an important mission. The Zulfaqar surface-to-surface missile is another precision-guided missile of the Fateh class. With its increased speed and detachable warhead, it is considered as one of the obvious examples of Iran's increased progress in the design and production of solid-fuel missiles. The fearsome shadow of the Zulfaqar spreads over any enemy who intends to attack within 700 kilometers of Iran. Operation Velayat was carried out with the intelligence cooperation of the Quds Force. Seven Fateh 110 missiles were fired at the headquarters of the terrorist Kurdistan Democratic Party. At the time of the attack, the leaders of the terrorist party were holding a meeting at the headquarters.
Iqra. باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Here we are with brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider. Everyone is fine?
Yes, sir.
All right, Hussein is fine. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Fawad Haider?
Fine, sir.
All right, and Hassan?
Fine, sir.
So everyone is fine, alhamdulillah, here. So brothers and sisters, we hope you are fine and happy, inshallah. Inshallah, today, as you know, brothers and sisters, we are going to work on one of the verses of the Quran Kareem. So today we'll talk about Ayah 78 of Surah An-Nisa on page
90.
So open your Quran, like our brothers here. Let's go and first listen to the recitation of this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Aynama takunu yudrikkumul maut walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyadah. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا.
That was an amazing recitation, mashallah. Love bless the reciter, inshallah. Very, very important teaching here, okay, in this ayah. Look what Allah Almighty says.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا.
Wherever you may be, there are a lot of people who are afraid of death, yes? كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Alright, so every single soul will taste the death. Now, here, Allah Almighty says very beautifully, أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Wherever you may be, death shall overtake you. Ah, don't run away, okay? The death comes to you. Look, we don't know three things about our death. About how? About our death, totally. Three things, really, we don't know. We normal people. First, the time. Second,
the place.
Third, how we die. So these three things are not known to you. You don't know them. Right? There might be people who know, can know, because they have like high levels, okay? But usually we don't know these three things about our life, okay? Yes? So yes. If we don't know, why are we running away from death? Okay? The next point here is this, that Allah Almighty says, وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you were in fortified towers, in like big towers, okay? Like really strong towers, even if you live there. Even if you go to the moon with the SpaceX, go to the moon, okay? Death comes to you there, overtakes you. Do you think that death does not come to you? Oh, easily, okay? Well, come and say, wherever you are, Assalamu alaikum, it's time to go. That's it. You need to go. Leave. So, yeah, pack your bag, okay? Get ready for the death. So, guys, there are a lot of things, okay, to mention. But this point, from this part of the ayah, I told you, inshallah, the rest of the ayah, the explanations, move on to, inshallah, the tafsir books, interpretations, inshallah, learn there, okay? We don't have much time to explain all of them. We'll just move on to the tajweed rules. We'll mention the important ones, inshallah, and we'll practice the recitation of this ayah all together.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا
القرآن. Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
So, Ali Nasir, Hassan, Hussein, Fawad, if you have any questions, if not, let's move on. Should we carry on to the Tajweed rules?
Yes.
All right. So, the first one, let's mention some letters which are actually important, okay, to pay attention. One by one. Hussein, what letter, the first one? Can you tell us?
Ainama.
No, the letters which we really have to pay attention to.
Uh-huh.
Like Hamza. For example, Hamza should be pronounced as not A.
Yes.
It shouldn't be mixed up with Ayn. So, تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ Wow. Yeah, the letter Wow is also important because sometimes we might think it's like the letter V in English, but it's not, right? أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ. When you stop here, ha. It's important. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ هُهُهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ. Which letter is important here? Ha. This ha is different from the other ha. Ha, ha. Ha, ha. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. When the first time you laugh this way, ha, it becomes the ha, and the rest of them becomes ha, ha, ha. It's very easy to remember. Okay, next one. يَقُولُ هَذِهِ ذَال. Next, can you tell me? وَإِنْتُ صِبْهُمْ. Sad is also important, right?
Yeah.
Like a kind of whistling sound, a very light one. يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ قَوْمٌ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. The letter ثَا. Good job. Alright, these are the letters that you must pay attention. Now, the rules, okay? أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُ. Make sure the long vowels should be pronounced like longer, okay? For two beats. So these long vowels must be pronounced correctly. أَيْنَمَا sound. تَكُونُ sound, okay? يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. مَوْتُ أَوْ sound. The ow sound, the lean sound. Walau, lau, the ow sound, lean sound. Yes, we had mad lean, yeah? Fi buru jin, the tanween with jim, right? The tanween with jim. So, what is there after it?
Mim.
Mim. So, whenever we have tanween plus ya, ra, mim, lam, wow, noon, What happens?
Idgham.
Idgham. Merge them together. Let them fight, okay, together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of them will get killed, and that is the Noon or Tanween. Yes. All right? Let them fight. Tanween or Noon get killed. So, now, في برو جن برو
جيم
جيم مشيدة they تشديد on yeah مشيدتين تا changes to ها and the tanwin changes
to مربوطة
alright good job قلا tells you صلا tells you جيم tells you something so قلا tells you حسن is very good at like stopping signs حسن tells us قلا tells us
it's better to stop
but you can continue
yes
better to stop what does صلا tell you
It's better to continue.
Continue, all right. Yes. You can stop as well. What does Jim say?
It's optional to stop or continue.
All right, you got you're a good, good person. Okay, where to stop, where to continue? You know, okay, that's a good job. So, ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة, the word كنتم, the noon is hidden. Okay, you should hide the sound of it. كنتم وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ Again the same. تُصِبْهُمْ Bounce the sound a bit. حَسَنَةٌ With ya merge the same thing. حَسَنَةٌ حَسَن, your name is here. MashaAllah. Your name is in the Quran.
Yes.
Lucky you. I wish my name was here. Okay. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ Look. The long vowels, e, these long vowels, okay? هذه من عند الله, عند الله, this noon is also hidden, okay? Hide the sound. And the word Allah is pronounced lightly with an a sound, not من عند الله, no, من عند الله. Do you know why? Because the a sound is, very suitable with the e sound. A sound is very suitable with the a sound, with the u sound. That's why. Very easy. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ The same rules. قُلْ كُلُّمْ مِنْ عِنْد Again, the same rule. مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ The same rule. Okay, عِنْدِ اللَّهِ Hide the sound. فَمَا لِهَاؤُلَاءِ The mad is wajib here. Okay, هَاؤُلَاءِ The mad is wajib. لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا The rule of stopping says that the tanween changes to
alif mad
haditha. Ready now to practice the recitation?
Yes.
All right. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Aynama takunu yudrikkumul mautu walau kuntum fi burujin mushayyadah.
أينما تكونوا يدرككم الموت ولو كنتم في بروج مشيدة
ما شاء الله perfect وإن تصبهم حسنة يقولوا هذه من عند الله
وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ
أحسنت Brothers and sisters, keep practicing with us. وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ
وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ
مِنْ عِنْدِكَ Yes, noon in the first one, no changes. عِنْدِكَ هاي ده سام. Alright. قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ
قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ
فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا
فما لهؤلاء القوم لا يكادون يفقهون حديثا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with us. We hope, inshallah, this session was useful for you. Ali Nasir, Fawad, Hassan, and Hussein, thank you so much. Thanks a bundle, inshallah. Allah bless you, inshallah. Thanks for being with us. Allah Almighty bless you all. See you in the next session. Thanks to Arab English Radio and Sevilla International Schools Network. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma. صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Steps up deadly strikes on the besieged Gaza Strip. The genocidal onslaught against the Palestinians entering its